Tigerland. Goes to the goal square. Lands it at the top of the 50. Oh, good float and an opportunity.
If you don't know what 20 years of frustration sounds like, just analyze us.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy. And Nick, this is the second time we've recorded this podcast in the last 24 hours. Unfortunately, our first version was lost. And if you'd heard the first version, you would have heard us whooing like Ric Flair.
To start off, well, both in honour of WrestleMania season, but more in particular, Richmond's 3-0 start to the season, which I feel like I wish I could bathe in it naked. That's how much joy it's bringing me right now.
Woo! Indeed. It's solid days for Richmond supporters, and it does make me reflect in my moments just how success-starved we are that 3-0 has such an effect on our emotional well-being. But Nick, I want to pay tribute.
I know, it's the second time we've done it in the last 20 years.
I want to look rationally at the game, and I started off by saying that this was genuinely a good win. So it was two games, basically. It was the first three quarters in the dry and the last quarter in the wet. Now let's take the first three quarters in the dry by themselves. At three-quarter time, I knew the rain was coming, sort of looked objectively at the game. Sort of the feeling was, listening to the commentators and watching it live, was that we'd been a little bit lucky for the shot to goal. But actually, if you looked hard at the stats at three-quarter time, we were plus six on the inside 50s, I believe. Plus seven, actually. We were winning the contested ball. There was a legitimate case that we were winning the game. And, you know, tactically we had a nice game plan, and I did enjoy the sign of shock and surprise on the commentator's voice that we didn't suck. And then the last quarter, we, as I joked on Twitter, we could reconnect Dimmer's microphone, because once it gets into the West, and Dimmer's actually, in my mind at least, has had a pretty good record on weather games, and he coaches teams well, and when the game plan gets simplified, we came out on top. And actually, for all this talk about shooting for goal, the predicted goal scoring would have had if both teams had shot to the average of the quality of the shots that they got, that we actually should have won by more, not less.
No, we did have some stinkers out of bounds on the full, and part of the reason why they kicked badly was that they weren't generating good shots at goal for most of the day. They had six rush behinds, which is a sign they're not taking marks close in. And yeah, on a day when we had a lot of very good players, our defence really held its structure all day against a team that's, you know, with good reason renowned as having a pretty good forward line.
Well, Dimmer does know how to park the bus. The difference is in the 2017 Tigers is that we have, well, A, we've got right now, Dustin Martin is according to the AFL ranking stats, as having one of the best three-game period. In the history of the statistic being measured, he's having one of the best three-game periods ever. So obviously he's playing out of his skin. Koch is playing amazingly. And we've got young, small forwards who fast and can break well out of in a counter-attacking situation. So, yes, we can defend, but we can also score, which we have not
been
able to do.
That's true. I think Dave Asprey turning into a competent number two, that he was able to hold up on Kennedy so Rance could play more, you know, a bit more of a freelancing role. I think that helps.
Arguably above average number two.
And currently
leading the team for minutes played, and has become a rock in our defence.
Yeah, no, enjoying his work. Dylan Grimes, extremely solid. The reincarnation of Reece Conqueror as a competent halfback flanker, which none of us saw coming.
No, absolutely not. As we discussed last week, for me, this is quite strange that I'm starting to feel feelings other than rage and disappointment when I think about Rhys Conker, and it's a change for the better. Now, that there was a sidestep he made rebounding to the rebounding out of the punt right end, which was genuinely good to watch and got me quite excited. So there are green shoots. I was going to say and Conker is playing well, but there's a couple of things I wanted to say. There's been a bit on the club website and other people saying that Conker had the best game of his career. He's had a 28-touch, three-goal game before, and he's had another game with a high 20s, multiple-goal game. So, you know, let's just... if you're going to make those calls, you should, you know, at least spend 30 seconds looking up on Footy Wire what he's had. But he's certainly...
I know. He debuted in 2011, so he's a slow maturing overnight success.
He's played a lot of football, but to me, the last three games stretch is maybe, you could argue, the most tactically important games he's played. But we're bearing the lead here, Nick. We've got off Dustin Martin, who once again was supreme and doesn't need your stinking helmet.
No, Dusty, you know, probably polled 7 Brownlow votes so far, getting up and down the ground, 15 clearances, and kicking amazing goals like he did. There's pretty much nothing he can do. He can't do right now.
Led the team in pressure racks, which he's very rarely done. You know, a typical Dustin Martin stat sheet over the last few years would be, you know, mid to high 20s kicks, high meters gained, low disposal effectiveness, and not so much action on the defensive end. His offensive stats have gone up. His meters gained are through the roof, but also his defensive stats are more than respectable. He is playing supremely well. His goals are brilliant. You know, if Riola hadn't pulled out that magical shot, he would have had the best goal of the game. On Saturday, he is in supreme form.
Oh yeah, and you know, his partner in crime, Trent Cotchin, playing his best footy since 2012. Oh, I would suggest
absolutely best 3-game stretch I can remember. 34 touches, 19 contested ball, which I checked, partly on the back of this game. He's now averaging more contested ball than he has at any time in his career. High amount of pressure acts, very high amount of intercept possessions. Has that spring and the ability to break out of the pack that he had in sort of 12-13 that felt like it was lost. So he meets the eye test, and he's also meeting the stat test. And, you know, it's just really exciting to see because...
Well, and he's got a nasty edge to him as well. Like he's
absolutely,
you know, he's pushing guys into the ground. He's tackling with a bit of extra mustard. It's really enjoyable to watch. And when they're getting complimented by the tireless work of Nate the Tank on ball, you know, we've had a big improvement in our contested possessions, in our clearances. It's really fun.
Now, we should mention with Nate the Tank, as well as he's playing, we are 18th in the AFL in hit-out differential and sort of the 17th. There's quite a big difference between us and 17th. But once again, he had, of all the ruckmen, he had the most hit-outs to advantage. So when he does win a hit-out, he hits it well. And as been pointed out many times, his possession count is high, his contested possession is high, and he's getting an enormous amount of pressure acts for a ruckman. And just let's just transition briefly to Todd Elton. Perhaps not quite as bad as people thought.
No, wasn't very good.
No, I did like Demi's commentary that might be the worst shot of the year. He almost missed the ball when he was kicking. Made me laugh.
It was pretty bad. Look, it was at the end of the game. I like to pride myself on knowing if a guy's played in his first win or not, and I say this without shame, that I'd forgotten that Todd Elton had played in a win against Collingwood in 2015.
He also, in fairness to him, there's a case to be made, that goal that was from the free kick that was paid against him, there is a case that actually was Rance's fault, because it was really what Elton had not made to get
because he followed. Because he followed the other guy in.
Yeah, that's what Rance did. So you can... There's another case to be made based on what the umpire was saying, but, you know, without labouring it, I would actually put the blame 70% Rance's fault, 30% Elton. So it was a bit awkward, but it wasn't completely without some redeeming features.
No, but I'm happy as well that Ben Griffiths apparently trained quite well today and should be on track for the Brisbane game.
I think Ben Griffiths, even if we told to him to only jump in right contest, stop jumping in pack situations, because he has got injured multiple, that's how he got injured last time, he's got injured multiple times jumping in large packs. I think even if we restrict him to sort of being in marking contest, keeping his feet to the ground, that overall he's a better player than Elton.
Yeah.
So just look back on, I was just going to compare Conker to Hooley just as a basis. So Conker had 25 touches, Hooley 23, roughly the same amount of kicks. And so, you know, they had the footy roughly the same amount in roughly the same kind of circumstances. And just a sort of, Hooley had 150 metres more metres gained. So Conker's playing all right, but he's still a chippy player. He's not a penetrating player. Although he did have one or two very nice kicks.
He did, and he's not chipping to a contest as much as he did previously.
So what did you think of K-Mac's game?
Well, it was a career high in contested possession, which was a sign of how hard he was cracking in. Yeah, the kicking still needs work for me. I'm a fan of having him in the team, but yeah, he's got to tidy up the kicking a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that was a horrendous turnover that led to, I think, the first Eagles game goal of the game. But to me, I mean, his pressure acts really high. His big body knocks the other team around. He seemed to be playing high half forward and sort of creating a bit of contest and helping our run up and down the ground. Well, I mean, this is not a surprise, but I'm still on K-Mac Island. I love what he gives us as a big, strong body who gets up and down despite his very obvious kicking deficiencies at the moment.
Yeah, he's got upside, but yeah, it's something to work on as well.
One thing I liked, K-Mac's good job on Mitchell has been thoroughly documented in the media by now.
Kane Lambert.
The goal he kicked around the corner was vital too. It was not an easy shot, and you know, those kind of, that's good, scoring in that circumstance is incredibly important.
No, it was he had a very tidy game. It's that he didn't get a game round one. You know, maybe you argue the toss about selection, but it's a good sign when you've got depth like that, and you know that he can hold his spot potentially even when Shane Edwards comes back.
Yes. Now we haven't discussed Rioli yet, but obviously, I mean, 9 possessions, but incredible 2 goals.
Oh, fantastic.
And the goal he scored on, the goal of the year candidate, in the chain was a very tough contested possession, and Rioli was obviously involved multiple times. And the only shame was it was on the wrong side of the ground, so it didn't have a good camera angle, but, you know, it was amazing. And someone has pointed out Simon Wallace, pointed out that the Steve Morris goal from that same pocket in 2013 versus the Hawks, and I can definitively say, having watching both videos, that Steve Morris's goal was quite good, but Daniel Rioli's goal was considerably better.
I loved that he was involved in the marking contest, and then immediately he broke for the boundary line, like there wasn't a half split second of hesitation at all, and that gave him the separation he needed, and, you know, stopped on the dime, the 1-2 with Prestia, like that was just slick. I've watched it a few times. I voted for it on goal of the week. It's pretty good fun.
If you watch closely the other teams, like he's He's getting star treatment from the umpires a little bit. I wonder what would happen if that was Jake King who gave that Shepherd for the Butler goal. But the other thing you can see he's in the head of the opposition players. Hearn at one stage punched the ball out of bounds when he should have marked because Rioli was nearby and would have seen on the tape that Rioli's a good contestant mark. He's starting to affect the way other people play because he is... I mean, he's got name recognition, but he's starting to collect the highlight reel of the other players don't want to look stupid around him.
Well, you mentioned Butler already, but it's the big three of Rioli, Butler and George Castagna. When all three guys are playing well, we play well. One of my favourite moments was that Dermot cops a bit for his commentary, but he got... that Butler was on the verge of a pretty special goal about a half second before anybody else did, and it just helped make the moment.
Yeah, look, and they're all young. They've all had less than 25 games. They are going to slump at some point. Actually, even Dimmer said this Sunday radio during the media rounds. But the three of them together are really important to how we're playing and a key factor tactically in our success. And it was nice to see George bounce back after a slightly disappointing round two game. But he still remains... his skill is limited, but I can see why sort of some educated observers on the internet think that he'll be a fantastic player in a couple of years when it clicks. I don't know. I'm not going to...
I don't know about a fantastic player, but there's certainly potential for above average. He's been a very good player at VFL, and you've sort of seen the template of he's fast and gives good pressure. So and his kicking's fine when he's got time and goes through a routine, but it's just his kicking on the run, and so you've got hope that he can clean up the technique a bit and take that extra step.
And he's a supreme athlete.
All three of them actually, and it's unusual for three small forwards that they all have got pretty big tank. They're all pretty good endurance athletes as well, and that's a nice combination in modern footy when you're trying to not just go from 0 to 20 fast, but you're also getting up and down the field.
Yeah, and actually it's important because if you look at them, they're all playing a reasonable amount of minutes in the game for hard running small forwards. That was a good excuse to transition to Lennon, who's obviously at the other end of the athleticism forward debate. He's more of a taller guy who's hopefully going to survive on skill rather than his jets. Yeah, okay, he was, according to Champion Darty, he was our worst player. He missed a couple of marks again. He did crack in hard, didn't score a goal. I'm sort of still on Lennon Island that we do need that third marking target. He's still dropping just a few things, marks that say to me, I don't think are skill related, but confidence related. And that will click given an extended run. I think if you drop him to the reserves right now, it destroys what little confidence he does and doesn't help at all. And, I'm not entirely sure that our BFL team can successfully develop young forwards. So I would stick with Lennon for another few weeks. If he still doesn't make it, maybe that's it. But I just give him a few more weeks to give him a chance because he's there and thereabouts and he's cracking in hard. Just hasn't clicked.
No, it hasn't. He's got a track record both in under-18s in the VFL that he's a good mark, so that tells you that he can do it. He's sloppy in his tackling technique. I assume that's from lack of practice. But, the forward line is already short, and replacing him with Lloyd, who would seem to be the obvious contender to come in because he's played well in the VFL, I think you're even shorter. Josh Caddy's having to do quite a bit as a marking target inside 50, which he's okay at, but it's probably not the thing that he's best at. So for team balance as well, I think there's an argument for keeping him.
Now, just moving on to another player, Prestia, who I know a lot of sort of smarky fans, as they know in the wrestling world, are saying on Punt Road End at the moment, there's a lot of questioning the trade due to the appears to be ongoing knee problem. I will say I don't know whether I can't comment on what the knee's like. Obviously, I don't have his medical report, but I will say his game is slightly better. It was not a great game. It was in the bottom third according to Champion Data, but on tape his game was slightly better than it looked live. He did, for those who haven't watched the game closely a second time, he did win some nice in tight possessions. He did sort of pop up when it mattered a few times defensively. So yeah, it wasn't a great game, but it wasn't awful either. We still need more, but you know, his first 3 weeks as a whole are not without redeeming features.
No, and then the midfield as a whole is playing well. So, you know, that for me sort of cuts him a bit of slack, because his round one game was fantastic, as we saw. I think Josh Keddy, I thought, was a bit off the pace as well, speaking of trade acquisitions in the first half. But, yeah, I thought he came into the game particularly. He's a guy, I think, who doesn't mind it a bit wet.
Yeah, actually a magnificent pick-up late in the game. A little bit more willing to give Josh Caddy a pass, just because it's a harder, that the role he plays is a bit more inherently up and down, because he plays more forward. But yeah, they both better pull their finger out fairly soon. Dan, 50 cents in the dollar, Richardson will get more questions on the forums about what he's doing.
Oh, look, I'm pretty confident Caddy. Caddy's had a long record of being a good player, so I'm confident he can do that. He's one of having expectations at an appropriate level, whereas Prestia's played very good football, so, you know, he's capable of a lot more.
Yeah, and, you know, expectation, we gave up a lot more to get him, so the expectation should be exponentially higher. Jack had 22, for all the talk about how Jack didn't have the best game, he actually had 22 touches and was at least up and about playing high. You know, there's a lot of talk that he's not fit, but, you know, he was involved in a lot of contests and doing a lot of the hard work to stop a quick release out, because, you know, there wasn't Griffiths there as the competent second forward.
No, I thought the centre forward part of his game was very good. Didn't really get on the lead much in forward 50, but, you know, when it really counted, you know, pulled down a really good contested mark, sealed the game with a goal. He's going okay.
So that's really all I had to say about the game, Nick. Much shorter than last time. We did exactly the same.
No, we probably luxuriated. Look, I just sort of note Jaden Short, a bit of a disappointing game, you know, a couple of early mistakes.
Lost his
Hooley and Conker were getting a lot of ball out of defence, whereas last week he was often the one who ended up kicking. And so, yeah, that was a bit disappointing for mine. I'd keep him, because the alternative's Taylor Hunt and nobody wants that. But, yeah, it was slightly disappointing.
Yeah, so the VFL game was a little bit deceiving, because we rested an awful lot of players and only played
some guys in their 17th and final practice game.
Yes. But yeah, so Marriage didn't play. Corey Ellis apparently had a minor quad, according to one forum report, but said would have played if it had been a regular season game. As you mentioned, Lloyd got 26, Miles was in the 20s, Morris made a good comeback, but overall not too much to write home about.
No, Menadue played okay, and he was...
got in the 20s.
Yeah, he was emergency last week, so you'd think he's probably not that far away. But other than if Griffiths can come back, you wouldn't think there's any obvious changes.
Except unless Flossie doesn't get up from his
concussion. Yeah, well, I was going to ask, because apparently he trained today as well, but, you know, you can never take these things for granted. But who would you play in for Flossie?
Well, here's the thing is that Vossi, when Dimmer gets nervous, he rolls Vossi back. But actually, if you look at the amount of guys we've discussed before that are playing, that are natural backs and natural forwards, you actually need Vossi more to play as a forward in the current Richmond team. So you could think of bringing in, you could think of bringing in Miles, and as I mentioned last week, changing around the midfield rotation, and you know, playing our other mids forward more often, or you know, you could almost think about Lloyd, and then again, but then playing Lloyd and Lennon on the same forward line at the same time might make you a bit slow. So. Yeah, I'm on, had to sound like a broken record, but I'm on Miles Island.
I would almost lean Menergy for someone who can play either end of the ground. We are a bit short on mid-sized players who can genuinely play at either end, because Miles is very much a specialist midfielder, and you've almost got too many inside midfielders, given Lambert and Caddy can both do quite competent turns there as well. I mean, Miles is clearly the best player in our VFL team, but yeah, the balance is hard to get.
I'm not entirely. Caddy, it was talked when Caddy joined Richmond, there was a lot of talk that he wouldn't play more in the midfield. I'm not sure he's good enough. Anyway.
Yeah, well, he has had some, in his career, he's had some big games in midfield, but he's never done it consistently. And we need the. We need him in the forward line. There's a very clear need.
So, Nick, I just before we get on to talk about Brisbane, I'd just like to comment, just quickly say that, you know, as exciting as Richmond's win is, that we're all a bit disappointed because everyone's second team, Essendon, lost on the weekend.
I know. After all the saga of the last few years, which has absolutely nothing to do with any of the senior leadership at Essendon, none of whom were complicit in the acts that led to the loss of draft picks, massive fine, years of legal action, and ended up ruining the careers of innocent players. Like, none of that was to do with the leadership at Essendon. So, yeah, I think we're all united in hoping they do well this year.
None of us know. None of us have been lectured by conspiracy-wielding fans.
James Hurt. James Hurt loyalists.
Yes. So, anyway, it's a great shame, but hopefully they'll be on the winning track soon. Brisbane.
So the line's 16.5 last time I checked, and that sort of feels about right, because they've epitomised the plucky but ultimately unsuccessful try after the last few weeks. Like they you know, they're giving it a go. They've got a good midfield with Beams, Zorko, the not very popular Rockcliffe, Stephen Martin, who wins more ball than any ruckman in the AFL. You know, so they've got a core of guys.
Wins a lot of ball and a lot of hit-outs. He's a very good player.
Yeah, for a you know, late-blooming Melbourne reserve ruckman who went to Brisbane with no fanfare whatsoever. Yeah, he's had a fantastic second career.
So it's going to be funny condition. Like, one of the things against us is it's going to be 26 degrees and wet. So it's not exactly going to be what our players are used to playing in.
No, the Gabba is quite MCG-like in size, which I think does help us since we're actually a pretty quick team. Although Brisbane aren't slow as well, and maybe that partially nullifies one of their big weaknesses, which is their they've got some young developing talls, but yeah, they really are lacking for genuine goal kickers, and maybe the wet evens that out a bit.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sort of, because I'm a Richmond supporter and I can't have nice things, I sort of believe that we've had now such a long streak against Brisbane, it has to be broken eventually. and this is the week. But, I mean, realistically, the draw has opened up for us. You know, Gardner's injured. I mean, yeah, Okay, that's not that important. But the point is, we're playing a very beatable player team this week.
Mm.
The week after, we're playing a team who's just had their best player injured, and arguably their, you know, the best
Melbourne,
their best young player has got caught 4 hours flight away smoking a cigarette on the in the in example number 10,000. Why there's too much coverage of AFL these days. But you know, there's. We have every chance in the world, if we don't stuff it up, of going into Adelaide 5-0. But on the other hand, you know, one of these weeks, yes, we deserve to beat West Coast. We deserve to beat Collingwood.
Mm.
But in both those games, if the team had had a purple stretch and hit the field 50-50 shots a goal, you'd suddenly down by four or five goals, and it's harder to play footy on the comeback. So, you know, we're going to have one of those games that goes the other way, and it could be against Brisbane.
Mm. Yeah. For, I mean, most people have seen in the media the reported interest in Josh Shackey, who was the second pick of the 2015 draft. He's a big boy. He's the same height as Toby Nankervis. Obviously, not nearly as big, but he set a record for the under 18 championships, kicking 24 goals in 4 games. Mm. Yeah, you wouldn't say he's a super explosive runner, but you know, he's big, he's got to get something down the ground, he's a lovely kick for goal. Yeah, you know, hopefully we can watch him do a few things without having them impact on us winning comfortably.
Exactly. But I'll take the 4 points. If we win by 1 point, I'll take the 4 points right now. I forgot to mention it before, but I'd like to pay tribute to Asprey's forearm jolt to the kidney, which kept him down for a few good minutes, and it nursed the approval of Dermot Brereton, because that is what you want from your key backs, and Asprey has really developed, has continued, was good last year, but has really come on this year. All right, Nick?
Both him and Rance, both. They're good with their hands in a, you know, violent and semi-illegal way. Yeah, it's good fun.
I'm Andy.
I'm Nick.
We're Richmond
Tiger Talk.